محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وأهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وارواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. There's a little bit of echo in here. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati halat bi fina'ik. Alayka minni salamullahi abadan ma baqit wa baqiya al-laylu wa al-nahar. Wa la ja'alahu Allah akhir al-ahdi minni li ziyaratikum. As-salamu ala al-Husayn wa ala Ali ibn al-Husayn wa ala awlad al-Husayn wa ala ashab al-Husayn. So brothers and sisters, now we are commemorating the ayam where we're leading up to Ashura. And because we are awaiting the return of our Imam, and we want to make sure that we've done everything that's our responsibility to hasten the return of our Imam, normally we use these days as an opportunity to remind ourselves of our practical duties. What is it that the Imam wants from us? How can we improve ourselves? Naturally, we would look to Quran and Sunnah for reminders in this regard. Sometimes it's new information, sometimes it's just reminders about what we already knew, so that we can implement this stuff better. Now what we're doing is we're going over the story of Surah Yusuf alayhi salam, and going over the verses one by one, looking for that guidance and inspiration in order to hasten the reappearance of our Imam and prepare for his return. So we reached up to verse number 55. This is the response of Yusuf now to the king. We learned yesterday that the king, after Yusuf came out of the prison and he spoke to Yusuf personally, he made a statement. He said that today you have position with us and you're honorable. Unlimited position. You are my number one. You are my number one. Everybody in my country is going to be following you. So now what we're going to do is read the response of Yusuf alayhi salam. قَالَ جَعَلْنِي عَلَى خَزَائِنِ الْأَرْضِ. I ask you to place me in charge of the treasuries of the country. إِنِّي حَفِيظٌ عَلِيمٌ. I am indeed a knowledgeable custodian. So, now that he's been given this opportunity, he asks for this position, that I want to be in charge of the treasuries. And the question is, why? Why would Yusuf do something like this? Why would he go over and ask for a position like this? Now you have the opportunity to ask for anything. We know the Prophet's their whole purpose and focus is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why this position? Wouldn't it be better as a Prophet not to take on this social responsibility, not to get yourself mixed up in the community, all the trouble and headaches and stuff that goes on with it? Wouldn't it be easier? I mean, he's going to give you anything. You're absolutely in charge. Why go over and ask for an important social position like this that we see Yusuf doing? Because the purpose of the Anbiya is God. They're trying to get to God. Actually, there's a very beautiful verse in Surah Yusuf itself, which talks, it's Surah, verse number 108. The Prophet is speaking, meaning Allah speaks to the Prophet. قُلْ, he says to the Prophet, say, هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي. This is my way. أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. I invite to God. أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. I do this, and those who follow me also do this same thing. عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ. Oh, I missed one part. أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ. So I call to God with basira, with insight. أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. Me and those who follow me. So the whole purpose of the Anbiya is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every move that they make is to try and get to God. That's the purpose of creation. And if we're going to see that he's taken this position, it will be within this light. What we learn from the verses of the Holy Quran is that Islam has a unique way of us getting to God. We can't get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by abandoning society. If it would be expected that a prophet, when he has this wonderful opportunity, you've been taken out of prison, now go worship, right? Take care of your affairs, but just go worship. Actually, no. The instructions of Islam are that in order to get to me, to call to me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to see that you're interacting with society. You can't abandon society. we learn from the verses of the Holy Quran that the scholars, Christian scholars, didn't obey this rule. There's a verse of the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Hadid. Again, we're not saying this to knock the Christians. We're trying to learn and see what our own responsibility is. This is the verse. So it's Surah Al-Hadid, and it's verse number 27. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَهْبَانِيَّةً ابْتَدَعُوهَا. He said, being monastic, being a monk, leaving society, going off and worshiping in a cave away from society, not having anything to do with society, ابْتَدَعُوهَا. This is a bid'ah, an innovation. مَا كَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ. We didn't tell them to do that. We didn't write that for them. We didn't make that obligatory for the believers. The way to be in Islam, if we want to go to God, if the purpose is Allah, I have to be involved with society. I have to not only save myself and protect myself, but also try my best to save others. And that's the only way to do it. The same thing we hear from Imam Hussein. When he explains why it is that he made that uprising, he says, إِنَّمَا خَرَجْتُ. The only reason I've come out, لِطَلَبِ الْإِصْلَاحِ. Right? In order to do islah, in order to correct the community, the ummah tajaddi. So, that's the way that it is in Islam. Islam doesn't have us abandon the dunya in order to become spiritual, in order to get to Him. No, we have to do this. So, Allah expects us to be able to not only preserve ourselves, but also preserve others. Instead of running away, even sometimes when there's situations where there's sins involved, where people are struggling, they're doing the wrong thing, that the mu'min is the person who with the armor, dons the armor of taqwa, so without me sacrificing my own spirituality, I can also take the hands of a few others and take them out. I'm looking to do that. I know that that's my responsibility. Now, there's a very beautiful verse in the Holy Quran. And this is a point that I heard for the first time from the leader. Okay, this is what the verse says. So the verse is Surah number 5. Surah number 5, and it's verse number 32. This is what the verse says. وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. Whoever saves a soul, we've heard this before. Whoever saves a soul, it's like you've saved the entire universe, everybody. Whoever saves even one soul, it's like you saved the entire universe. And there's hadith about this from Ahlul Bayt. This companion says that I went to Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam and I asked him about this same verse. What does this verse mean when you go over and if you save a person, it's like you save the entire universe, everybody? What is this? The Imam said, Min haraqin aw gharaqin. There's a fire. Place is caught on fire. You rush in there. You go over. You save one mu'min. You bring them out of that fire. It's as if you saved the entire world. Or gharaq, drowning. Somebody was drowning. You said, look, I'll risk my life. I'll go over and I will do that. The guy asked a question. That's when we mentioned other hadith of Ahlul Bayt. He says, what about if you bring somebody out of dhalal into hidayah? The physical saving of the life, if you do that, is as if you saved everyone. What about if I say that I would like to see that others also have this blessing of hidayah? I see somebody is misguided to whatever extent they are. I reach out and I try and save that person. Then what? And the Imam said, ذَلِكَ تَعْوِيلُهَا الْأَعْذَمُ. This is the greatest interpretation. This one is much more important. Saving their physical lives, that's wonderful. Do that. We should all do that. But if somehow even we can be involved in hidayah of others, that's a great thing. So for all brothers and sisters who in some way have participated in these gatherings or gatherings in other masajid or whatever, we want to consider this great tawfiq. Somehow I can be involved in others hearing the words of Ahlul Bayt, hearing the story of Imam Hussein. Nobody wants to take this lightly. Oh, this isn't important. No, this is the greatest way of saving others. So then, okay, that's a wonderful point. We have a hadith about this. You know what's more important than even that? This is the new point for me. More important than even that is saving our own souls. What were the instructions? Try and save others. Save their physical lives? Wonderful. Better than that, spiritual lives. More important than that, what? Saving our own necks and our own souls, making sure that we don't go to the fire. What does Islam want from us? This is why it's challenging to be one of the Shia of Amirul Mu'mini. If you just told me it's enough, go off into a cave, worship God, I would do that. But you're saying, no, don't do that, get involved in society. Okay, can I just throw my efforts into saving society? That's what I do. I check others, I help them, I save them, I bring them to the right path. No, I don't want you to only do that either. At the same time that you do that, I want you to focus on yourself and be building yourself. Aware of your states with God. These actions that I'm doing, am I doing them with ikhlas? Is God happy with me? Is this what He wants me to do? Right now, what's my responsibility? Is my responsibility to go over and save others? Right now, is it to save myself, right? But all of these things are supposed to be there. The verse of the Holy Quran is this. It's in Surah Ma'idah, and it's verse number 105. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. O you who believe. Allah talking to all of us. Alaykum anfusakum. Take care of your own souls. Take care of your own souls. He says, La yadhurrukum man dhal idha ihtadaytum. The one who's misguided cannot harm you if you're guided. So as a believer, I have heavy responsibility. I cannot abandon society. That's the example I see of Imam Hussein. But there should be no conflict with that and my constant self-building, constantly elevating myself, more ikhlas, more service, more humility, better akhlaqi traits, all of those things that are things that they want from us. So Yusuf alayhi salam is doing his duty by doing this. We shouldn't move. Why wouldn't he go wander off into a cave somewhere just sitting on home? That's the way it works. You got to go. You got to get out. Involved with society. Especially involved with guidance. And Yusuf saw this as a way of doing that. When I'm involved in the treasury, I know that there's going to be masa'ib coming for these people. I know that 7 years later, this situation will not be the same. I want to be in a position where I'm distributing the wealth and the food and the grains and things that people need. I'm serving the people, keeping them alive. So Yusuf saw this opportunity. He says, I'll be able to be at their service. Who better than me to be able to know how to manage their affairs? I'll take care of it. And this way. Next thing about the verse. And again, there's some serious questions we want to ask ourselves about these verses. Why? Because we want to apply these verses. Yusuf says, he describes himself, inni hafidhun alim. He said, surely I am someone who is a custodian. I am hafid, I protect, I look after things. Alim, I'm also knowledgeable and I'm also wise. Right? Why is it he's making a request for a very sensitive position? I want to be in charge of the country's treasuries. Why me? Of everybody else? Because I have two traits that anyone who has these traits, it's good if they're in charge of these sensitive responsibilities. And we want to ask a couple of questions about this verse. Right? Serious question. One of them is this. It goes back to yesterday's talk. Isn't it the case that the Anbiya of Allah are opposed to the Tawagheet of the time? Huh? The Tawagheet. Are we for the Tawagheet or against the Tawagheet? We're against the Tawagheet. It's okay, the Tawagheet can't hear you here. We're against the Tawagheet. Okay, and that we have that verse of the Holy Quran when it says about the prophets, right? Each prophet and every prophet was against the Tawagheet of his time. Verse of the Holy Quran, Surah 16, verse number 36. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا. We sent in every ummah, every nation, Rasulah. He sent a messenger in every nation. Why? Ani'abudullah. You're supposed to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tell the people, worship God. What else? This is the kicker. Wajtanibut taghut. And stay away from the taghut. The prophets were against the tawagheet of their time. They were trying to establish that government of the righteous. The same thing that Imam al-Mahdi will do. They were all trying to do that. So, question, the prophets were all against the tawagheet. Why did Yusuf alayhi salam accept a position with the tawagheet of his time? That's one question. Next question. Let's leave that. We'll leave that, inshallah, for our discussion tomorrow. Sit on it a little bit, see what it is. Next question. In the Holy Quran, aren't we told not to praise ourselves? Yusuf, you just said, And this story is telling Inni Hafidhun Ali.
Praising himself, isn't he?
And what does the verse of the Holy Quran say? Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Surah number 53 and verse number 32. So it's a verse of Quran now. Fala tuzakku anfusakum. They translate it here, don't flaunt your piety.
Yeah, I make Salatul Layl.
Don't flaunt your piety. Don't, maybe a more accurate translation of it, don't consider yourself to be guided and I'm perfect and I'm great. And right? So that's a verse of the Holy Quran. Now, Yusuf alayhi salam, who's ma'soom, you just said he, in front of everybody in a loud voice, inni hafidhun alim. Why would he do that? It's another serious question for ourselves. Because, again, we know he's ma'soom. There's no question that he's ma'soom. But why would he do that, and what's the rule there? Because we're not supposed to praise ourselves, right? So what happens is that praising ourselves, like many other rules that we have in Islam, it's not an absolute rule. That the rule under all circumstances is you never mention anything that's good about yourself. Anytime you do, you're bad. No, that's not the situation. Yes, as believers, we're not trying to ego worship, pat myself on the back, talk about how great I am. No, I'm not supposed to be like that. But there are some occasions when it's the duty of the mu'min or mu'mina to introduce themselves and to tell what they have, their qualifications. There's a hadith about this, actually. A person goes to the imam. This is Imam Sadiq. Salaam alayhi.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
So he asks the imam, he says that, is it allowed to praise yourself? And the imam says this. These are the words of the imam. Qala na'am. Yes. Idha udhtura ilay. When the person's forced to do it, yeah, it's okay. Normally, it's not what we do all the time, but when a person's forced to do it, and then the imam cites this very verse. He said, didn't you hear that verse of Yusuf? When Yusuf said, right? So it's not that there's a hard and fast rule. Anytime you do this, see, brothers and sisters, we don't want to have a superficial understanding of the religion. There's one law, and that's it till the end. No, Islam has a lot of laws and rules. We have to see what the application is. They said one time, they asked Mullah Nasruddin, they said, how old are you? He said, I'm 40 years old. His friend said, but I asked you 2 years ago, you said you were 40 years old. He said, well, I stand by what I say. One rule. So Islam's not like that. There are different rules, different applications. Sometimes this, sometimes that. What's my taklif? What does God want from me now? What's my duty? That's what's important to me. And that throws mu'mineen off also. That simplistic approach. No, I'm always looking to see what is my duty in these particular circumstances. Sometimes the circumstances are different. Sometimes, like this case, I'm compelled to introduce myself and say what it is that I'm capable of. So what happens is that, yes, and we see other examples of this also. For instance, you see Amirul Mu'mineen praising himself. There's one of the khutbah of Amirul Mu'mineen where he's describing his knowledge. يَنْحَذِرُ عَنِّ السَّيْلِ وَلَا يَرْقَى إِلَيَّ الطَّيْرِ. Beautiful, eloquent words of the imam. He says that the flood flows down from me and the bird can't soar up to me. That's how much knowledge I have. It's important for people to know what we mean when we say the imam. The imam's not just a temporal ruler. The imam is someone who knows, has that knowledge, is connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what the imam has. So people need to know that. There's a reason. Right? So the imam is compelled to introduce himself. People know. So the thing is, this is a Quranic principle. This is something that happened. The imams, the Ahlul Bayt, they would go over, they would introduce themselves. And as long as we're not doing it with, we'll talk about some applications of it. We're not doing it with the idea of self-praise, self-worship, I'm the greatest. These things, it's okay. When I'm doing it as taklif, it's okay. So,
Now we're going to look for some lessons that we can get and then some applications, inshallah.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Can you
just ask everyone to move forward a little bit so that people come
late? Bismillah.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Yeah, at the end, inshallah. So let's go back to that verse now, right? Because now we're looking for practical applications. We know what our mission is. We're preparing. The Imam of the time is watching this very gathering. And he's choosing soldiers, people who are going to be his elite. And we want to be those elite. So when we hear these verses of the Holy Quran, it's to see what reminders we can get so we change ourselves, better ourselves, and make sure that we're ready and we can serve in his absence as we want to serve in his presence. So let's go back to that verse again. The words of Yusuf now, according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ جَعَلْنِي عَلَى خَزَائِنِ الْأَرْضِ. So make me in charge of the country's treasuries. إِنِّي حَفِيظٌ عَلِيمٌ. I am a knowledgeable custodian. There's a point that I want to, this point that I want to share, this is for all of us, mu'mineen, mu'minat, and also for parents, for fathers and mothers to keep in mind. Okay. Let's start off with a political application, and then we'll bring it close. Okay. Once the leader was making a statement, the leader, he said, you know why some nations are strong and other nations are weak and dominated? Why is it that some nations are, people take advantage of them, rule over them, harass them, take their natural resources, and others defend themselves? There's a secret to it. And I'm going to explain the Quranic principle, bismillah. He says what happens is that weak nations, they don't remember their strong points. Their flaws, their weaknesses, their problems, their issues, that's all in their mind. I have this weakness, I'm backwards, I'm like... All of the weaknesses are there, but the values that they hold, the strengths that they hold, the things that they're capable of, they don't see those things. Now, question application for us, personally and also as parents, for the next generation of soldiers of the Imam. How do we give ourselves confidence as Muslims? How do we give our children confidence? How is it that some are able to achieve great things and others constantly negative, always beating themselves up? What happens is, again, it comes to this point. Now, this is important for us to remember as parents also. Mu'mineen, mu'minat, always, because we have to keep this in our personal lives, but also as parents and those who are raising the next generation of Muslims. It's important for us as parents and just as mu'mineen that we keep both our weaknesses, that we have areas to work on, we have flaws, we have things. Also our points where we're strong in mind. What good things do we do? What do we offer? How can we serve? What blessings has Allah given us? Right? I want to mention a verse of the Holy Quran. But we all know, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Right? وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. When it comes to the blessings of your Lord, proclaim them. Verse of the Quran, Surah Duha. When it comes to the blessings of your Lord, proclaim them. Announce them. Say it. The blessings that Allah has given you, the ways that you, alhamdulillah, there are some blessings. I'm not only shar, right? I'm shimr bin, no, we're not shimr. Alhamdulillah, we have some blessings, some good things, some ni'mah that Allah has shared with us. The strong people, the confident people, are the people who remember those good points, those ni'mat that Allah has given them, instead of just beating themselves up constantly. I'm like this, I'm wrong, we're all... Right? So sometimes you'll have a wise parent who does that for their children. They're still correcting their children, they make sure that if they make a mistake, this is not correct, we shouldn't be like this, we shouldn't be like that, go forward. But constantly they're making sure the children are aware, but you do have these good points. You are doing the right thing over here. This is good about you, that's good about you. Right? وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. So those people are naturally much more confident because there is something I bring to the table. I'm not completely useless. Sometimes people also do that when it comes to the Muslims too. Right? Some people are very fond of it. We Muslims, we're so backwards. Do we have any good points?
think of anything that we do right? There's a lot of things that we do right. Not to be arrogant or self-impressed, but there's a lot that we've done, right? But to have that approach, I'm just brutally honest. Well, be brutally honest both ways. There's some things that I do that's good. Tell me.
So those people who are like that, who remember those blessings of Allah, they're much more confident than others.
Because there is something that I give, that I serve, there's a way.
Now, the opposite is true. The Ahlul Bayt have warned us about the opposite of the also. There's some people who are not like that. They're always negative, always shy, always, I'm no good, I'm nothing. Right? Sometimes you play basketball, you guys, I don't know if sisters play basketball, brothers play basketball. You've noticed that sometimes, oh, sisters play basketball too, there you go. Everybody's exercising. Sometimes you'll notice when you're playing a sport, there'll be a kid who won't ever ask for the ball. And sometimes, or maybe it's just tawadhu, maybe it's humility. Sometimes it's not humility. I'm afraid to make a mistake. I don't want you to pass me the ball and then I miss the shot and then everybody talks about me and nobody's impressed with me. Right? So I never want to be the guy who has to take the last shot because I don't think very much of myself. I won't ask for a raise. I'll just, you know, keep my head down, keep going forward. I won't bother anybody. Whereas hadith of Ahlul Bayt warn us about this also. The Ahlul Bayt are very comprehensive in how they were trying to train us. This first hadith is from Imam Ali, alayhi salatu wassalam. Because sometimes we have to tell others about our qualifications in order to get promoted. Let's say we're working. Inshallah, for our brothers and sisters, our highest ambition isn't to work for others though. Eventually, we want to establish our own business, hire others, right? The mu'mineen, they shouldn't only have an employee mind, should have an employer mind. I'll take on the risk, I'll set up a business, I'll hire other mu'mineen, mu'minat, right? But in either case, sometimes it's not good to always be shy. Hadith now. This is from the Imam. Al-haya. Haya is a wonderful thing. Modesty, being shy, wonderful thing. But this negative sense, al-haya yamna ar-rizq. Being shy all the time, always beating myself up, I'm no good, yamna ar-rizq. Keeps me from getting the rizq that Allah would give to me. Allah could give me other things. Let's say I'm in a job, I could move up, but I'm always, no, I'm no good. You know, there's others who are better than I am. Yamna ar-rizq. There's another one too. The hadith says, Al-haya maqroonun bil-hirman. People who are haya all the time, have haya, the wrong sense, not the positive sense, which is what we are definitely against what the West is doing. Flaunt your beauty, be out there, be gay. Huh? We're not like that. You know, we think that's absolutely wrong. We, you know, some sense of haya, shame, honor, dignity, these things are wonderful. I'm talking about the wrong sense. The wrong sense, no, we're being false modesty and all. He says that people who are like that, al-haya maqroonun bil-hirman. People who are like that, they're always denied. You suffer denial because you don't offer yourself. You're not putting yourself out there for Allah to give you that rizq. Now, let me just address an issue here, just very briefly. And that is that, because it's an issue that affects our community at large. Is it necessary for our religious sisters, who are single, to always wait until they're discovered? Wait until they're discovered. Why am I mentioning this? Because globally, you'll find that we have a lot of religious, good, practicing, pious sisters who are taqwa, iman, everything. But because obviously haya is there and we have, then, okay, well, how do we get married? What we're talking about is partially taking our affairs into our own hands. Using the inspiration from this verse and doing this. One of the things for our sisters is to have a plan for themselves. What do they consider important in life? Actually, there's a very good video for the sisters to see. It's called Brothers and See It Also. It's by Sheikh Salim Yusuf Ali. May Allah protect him. So he has a video out there about being a winning spouse. winning, being a winning spouse is over. And for instance, we see, okay, what are our values? What are the things I must have in my life? What are things I'm looking for? Okay? In addition to that, sometimes a sister may see, now, we have to raise the culture of all of the mu'mineen on this issue. There are some people who will take this the wrong way. Let me explain what happens. Okay? Let's say a sister sees someone who's actually a good, a potential spouse. Okay? A potential spouse. What she can do is find out through a third person, is this brother interested? Is this brother interested? The story that most historians say about Hazrat Khadija, how she proposed to the Prophet, right? How she ended up marrying the Prophet, it was a third person who worked in between. There's a woman, she's very wonderful, noble, this, that, and the other. Are you interested? Oh, well, this is my situation. I can make it happen for you. So the sister still preserves her own dignity. Okay? Now, the reason I'm mentioning we have to raise the culture, sometimes, unfortunately, with some of our brothers, inshallah, nobody here, right? No, nobody here. There's some people who, if they hear a sister is interested, then the first, they're desperate. And that's really pitiful. You know, the Prophet of Allah, he got married to Khadija, salamu alayhi. If you see someone who's, okay, then this is a way of a sister saying, well, I'm just seeing, marriage is in God's hands. Marriage is in God's hands, okay? Another one for sisters to do, again, this, the proactive approach, is instead of just assuming that everybody's looking for you to make sure there a connection happens, no. If there's ulama in your community, if there's elders in the community, if you have matchmakers in the community, you go over and you explain to them, just, it comes from God, but I am single, I am looking, if you find a good match, nothing wrong. Instead of just assuming, well, everybody's doing that. Sometimes a sister will have a close relative, her brother-in-law, right? Somebody who can say that, no, if you can tell this person who's a trusted person, if you see somebody who is good for me, you go over and do that. Another one, again, now it goes back to that, the thing about presenting yourself with Hazrat Yusuf. When all sister all gatherings for sisters can, this is from ulama, from senior ulama, from some of the urafa, that if there is a gathering which is only for sisters, that sister goes, she dresses up, she's there, right? This is from God's sake, for the sake of God, right? But instead of, no, I just have to be discovered, no, sometimes, in order to get what God says and what God wants, I go over and I do this. And of course, also maintaining their own physical appearance, exercise, these things, making dua, these are all parts of that thing. Now, the next point that I wanted to get, and get back to that verse, the idea of sometimes it's good for us to take on social position, brothers and sisters. Sometimes it's important for us to take on social positions so that we can serve the cause better, like Yusuf did. Tomorrow we'll see, inshallah, if we're still alive, to see why is it that he would take on a position under the Tawhut of the time. But in the meantime, sometimes taking on these social positions is useful for us in order for us to take Islam to the next level. What happens is, even if you have righteous scholars, good ulama, those ulama need to be surrounded by strong mu'mineen and mu'minat. If they really want to be effective in the community, there have to be mu'mineen, mu'minat who are there, who believe in the same things. We want to see that the rules and laws of Islam are implemented. We're there for you, we're with you, we're pushing for the same things. We're not a scholar, for instance, that wasn't our taklif, we never went to the Hawza, but we're there with you and we're in positions of leadership for the cause. The same way Yusuf is saying that, Inni hafizun alim, put me in charge of the treasuries. I can handle this responsibility. Let's go back in history a little bit. When we look in history, we see that the government of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam only lasted around 6 months after the government of Imam Ali. It collapsed. His government collapsed, Muawiyah came and he ruled. Why is it that the government of Imam Ali could last for 5 years or a little more, and then immediately after the same Ma'mun, they're all one Nur, and then his government collapsed? What was the difference? When we look carefully in history, we see that what happened was Imam Ali didn't do everything himself. He had mu'mineen, strong mu'mineen around him. They did some of the tasks for him. People like Ammar, when people were confused, when it was a time of fitna, instead of Imam Ali going and he would have to individually talk to every person and explain everything, Ammar would see there was a fitna, people didn't understand what the mission was about. He would go over, talk to that person, explain to those people, no, haq is this. I was there in the time of the Prophet of Allah. These people were enemies of God. They were under that flag. Imam Ali was under this flag. Go over and make it clear for people. So Imam Ali wasn't only by himself. He had that strong support of mu'mineen. Not only righteous leadership, but the next level of leadership, mu'mineen who have presented themselves and are ready to take on the cause. Malik was like this. Malik, he wasn't only that he carried the scimitar. Malik was also someone of basira and insight. And it's really important too. Because Malik wasn't there, then Imam Hassan had these problems. Okay? So Malik was someone, now again, this is the example for us, what we're trying, the level that we're trying to reach. Okay? Once some of our senior ulama, they came into the presence of the leader. And they said, you know, we're working hard to try and train people, make sure that people have basira and they know how to defend the religion and stuff like that. He said, what do you mean by basira? And they started explaining stuff like that. He said, I'm looking for a different type of basira. I'm looking for the basira that Malik had. Then he mentions a hadith from Imam Ali. Imam Ali describing Malik. He said, the basira that Malik had was this. If Malik was in a desert away from his mullah, he would know what his mullah wanted and he would do that. Away from the mullah. I know what the mission is, what the cause is, what we're trying to do. Yes, I'm ready to be told in these things. Yes, of course that's there. But I'm also aware I have basira. I know about the mission, the cause, what's important, what's not important, what we need to do. Now let me give you one politically incorrect example. Okay, brace yourselves, guys. Politically incorrect. Once during the time of Imam Ali, when he came into power, everyone made bay'ah to Imam Ali, excluding Muawiyah, Sham, that area, but all the mu'mineen, they came and they made bay'ah to Muawiyah, to Imam Ali, astaghfirullah, to Imam Ali. When they made bay'ah, there were 10 individuals, around 10, who refused. And it's so interesting that when people are faced with an adil, a just ruler, they're not scared of that ruler, then they're very tough and strong and brave. But then when they're faced with, you know, Hajjaj, no, then you see the person, a different side of their personality. Anyhow, now Imam Ali is over there, so 10 people are like, no, we're, and not making bay'ah was a big thing also. If you don't make bay'ah, you don't accept the central government, that's a statement. When Imam Hussein says, I'm not going to make bay'ah to Yazid, that's an important statement. That's not, you don't make bay'ah, it's not like you didn't vote and you're like, no, it's much more than you didn't vote. It's a statement. Okay? So these 10 people did. And Imam Ali said, okay, I'll let these guys go. It's not important. You don't want to make bay'ah? It's a free country. Don't make bay'ah. Now what happens is, for the people though, that's a question mark. Major companions, important people, they didn't make bay'ah to Imam Ali. Is his government really legitimate? Is he right? Why didn't they do it? Is ihtiyat, taqwa? Why is it that they wouldn't make bay'ah? So Malik sees the situation. This is a politically incorrect thing. One of these guys, and I'm not going to mention his name, he was the son of a khalifa. Big guy, important guy. And Malik, in the presence of Imam Ali and that companion, he said, Imam Ali, these guys, they haven't seen your whips and lashes. Let me kill this cat! Right in front of them! When he said that, then the other companion, oh wow, no, Imam Ali has support. It's not that you mess with Imam Ali. Imam Ali said, no, he's an old guy, you know, he's bad akhlaq before, he's bad akhlaq now, leave him, right? But people know, no, Imam Ali is dead serious. You just roll over Imam Ali, do what you want, no. So basira. So we need to have the leadership surrounded by strong mu'mineen. Mu'mineen who are going to take on who believe in the cause, want to do whatever Islam says, want to implement that, right? But surrounded by that. So sometimes what happens is that it's necessary for us to look for social position to serve the cause. Inni hafizun alim. To overflow. It shouldn't be the case that in healthy Islamic centers, we have a problem of volunteers for the Islamic cause. Everybody should be looking for this opportunity to serve. Okay, if it's not my taklif, tell me. It's not my taklif. Okay. But not that
Oh, I've got other things. I've got my life. Why would I go over? No, it's necessary. Of course, when we say Islamic leadership, it's very different from that leadership that is there in the, amongst the kuffar. Leadership based on the ego, and I'm important, and people rise before me, and I command them, and I order them around, and I'm bossy. No. We have a hadith that say, Sayyidul Qawm Khadimuhum. The leader of a group of people is a servant of those people. So I'm asking for the opportunity to serve, to be humble, to take flak, to be the bad guy, to hear everything. People, they don't usually thank you for the good things that you don't appreciate the good things. But the, if there's a mistake, if there's a problem, oh, you will hear it. So Sayyidul Qawm Khadimuhum, that kind of way. And also the other thing, this is another thing that Amirul Mu'mineen is challenging to be one of the Shias of Amirul Mu'mineen. He says, if you want to lead, if you want to lead, he says that you have to lead with your actions before your words. With your actions before your words. Start with yourself. So if I want to, then practice of religion, wajibat, doing all of those things, I'm bringing a heavier burden on myself. Actually, there's something that they say, this is scary even for me to say, okay? This is from the senior ulama. They say that if you notice that when you speak, people don't listen to your words, then look inward and see, are you practicing what you preach? Do istighfar. Do istighfar, because your words aren't effective. People aren't listening. They don't, right? Whereas if you practice what you preach, it's inspirational. But those, that leadership that we're talking about is being more humble than others. Changing the culture that's around. Let me give you one example. This was for a true story. This guy says that I reported to camp in the war. I reported to camp. And it's time to make salat. We go over, we make salat with the brothers. Alhamdulillah, this is the war. Okay, go over to make salat. He says, then after salat, then brothers spread, they call it a sufre, they roll a little mat out, we're going to sit down, we're going to have food. And he said, there was one guy who's next to me, and this guy is serving me and making sure that I have everything. This guy's really taking care of me. And the guy's so humble, just like, I'm struck by this guy's humility. The guy goes over taking rice and bismillah, he's like, I can get it myself. He's serving me the rice. He says, the guy went over, he took some watermelons, it was summer, it was hot. He went over, he cut the watermelons out, gave me a bit of the watermelons. I sat down, I had the watermelons, I ate them. He said there was a bit of watermelon left. The guy, he said, after he finished that, he went and he got, there was some of the watermelon that was still usable. He picked that up and he ate it. And then he left. And I'm like, who is this guy? This humility, this. So the other brothers, he's like, who's that guy? He said, it's the commander of the base. Sayyidul Qawm Khadimuhum. More humble than anybody. Adhillatin ala al-mu'mineen, as the Quran says. That's what we're looking for when it says this. So we're trying to be like that, and we're trying to present ourselves for the Imam of the time. Please, if we can turn out the lights, we'd like to go to Karbala very briefly. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, as we go into Karbala and as we slowly move ourselves with the eyes of our hearts, we try, even closing our eyes, to travel to those plains to see what it's like for that Imam to be out there alone, without helpers, without supporters. One person versus 30,000. As we see this, there is an example in Karbala of someone trying to present themselves to the Imam. Someone who says that I'm nothing, I have nothing, but I want to offer my life in the way of the Imam of my time. There's a young man, normally when people would go out to fight in the battle in Karbala, the people would recite poetry about who they are. My name is this, my father was that, I fight like this, I fight like that. One of these individuals didn't have any of that. His poetry was all about his Imam. Amiri Hussein wa ni'mal amir. My my master, my leader is Hussein, and what an excellent leader he is. What happens is that they say that a young man came out. Kharaja Sab Shabun, a young man came out, and his father had already been killed on that day. He had given, his family had given in the way of the life, the way of Allah. His mother told him, said, "Ukhruj ya bunayya." She said, "My little son, go out and fight. Qatil bayna yaday ibn Rasulullah. You go and fight in front of Imam Hussein." This young man came out, and the Imam noticed this young man comes out, young man asking to fight, and he said, "Look, his father was killed. Maybe his mother doesn't want him to die." The young man said, "Ummi amaratni bidhalik. My mother was the one who told me to fight." So he came out and he started reciting his poetry. Amiri Hussein wa ni'mal amir. Amiri Hussein wa ni'mal amir. He fought and he fought and fought till finally he was killed, and then his head was thrown back towards the camp, and his mother picked up his head and she said, "Ahsant ya bunay." We ask Allah by the right of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad that we're able to be those soldiers of the Imam of our time, that we offer ourselves to him in sacrifice. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Thar Allah, Hussein is the rising sword of Allah. Thar Allah, Thar Allah, Hussein is the rising sword of Allah. Thar Allah, everyone. Thar Allah, Hussein is the rising sword of Allah. Thar Allah,
Thar Allah,
Hussein is the rising
sword of Allah.
Karbala is in our mind. Let us see what we can find from the lives of Hussein's men who wrote the truth with a bloody pen. Thar
Allah,
Hussein is the rising
sword of Allah.
Thar Allah, Thar Allah, Hussein is the rising
sword of Allah.
In our heart there lies a scar carved in by Ali Akbar. Young indeed, but there was the need for the wrath of a lion heart. Thar Allah, Thar Allah, Hussein is the rising sword of Allah. Thar Allah,
Thar Allah,
Hussein is the rising
sword of Allah.
End of Abbas, what can we say? Look at his body at the end of the day. Bloodied and cleaved, now perceive the faith of a soldier who truly believed. For the free was able to see the clarity of the Imam's plea. He switched his side and changed the tide and rushed to his death with battle pride. Thar Allah, Thar Allah,
Hussein is the rising
sword of Allah. Thar Allah,
Thar Allah,
Hussein is the rising
sword of Allah.
There's Habib wishing to be the first cut down by the enemy. His loyalty was completely for the son of Imam Ali. And there's Saeed ready to bleed for the sake of Muhammad's creed. In Salat the arrows he'd shield till his fate was finally sealed.
Thar Allah,
Thar Allah, Hussein is the rising
sword of Allah.
Thar Allah,
Thar Allah,
Hussein is the rising
sword of Allah.
Zubayr the pure was more than sure to join Hussein and not linger. Leaving his town, he won't let him down. He fought till he won a martyr's crown. Ashab al-Hussein, brutally slain, taught the world to overcome its pain. All aboard, seeking their Lord, their blood finally overcame the sword.
Thar Allah,
rising.
Sword of Allah,
that Allah, that Allah, for sin is the
rising. Sword of Allah,
men like these can be appeased, carry the future of our species. Monks by night, waiting to fight, changed into lions at first daylight. That Allah,
that Allah,
the saint is the rising.
Sword of Allah,
that Allah,
that Allah,
the saint is the rising.
Sword of Allah,
Ya Mahdi,
Adrikni,
Ya Mahdi,
Adrikni,
Ya Mahdi,